8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Woohoo! Woohoo!
Hello, everybody!
It's podcast number 20.
It is. Great.
Woohoo! I know. I'm
Anything
excited.
Anything else important we should all know about?
It is National Waffle Day.
I love Belgian waffles.
I do too. They're scrumptious.
Especially with powdered sugar on them.
Did you have a waffle today?
I did not.
I know, I didn't either because I didn't know it was National Waffle Day until like 30 minutes ago.
No, I wasn't actually here today, but I'm back now. So I'll see if I can dig one out. I've hidden away somewhere.
What is your favorite type of waffle? I know you said Belgian waffle.
Just traditional Belgian waffle with the pearl sugar in it.
Yes.
And powdered sugar on top.
They're very yummy.
Cooked a little bit extra long. They're amazing. And life-sustaining because you can actually eat them for 3 days
without them melting
or dissolving, you know.
They last
one if you've never had one. And you might want to check out Wally Waffle. I know him personally. How about
so
you,
So do I. I know him personally. I have a picture of him in my office.
We may actually let people know who that is next time.
That's right. It's our little secret right now, but...
Yes, it is.
Okay, today we are going to discuss something that I know you've talked quite a lot about, but this I'm excited about it. It's weather warriors.
Yes, it's about time.
Yes.
They have arrived.
Yes, because I know we've been talking about the scripture where it says the earth groans.
In Romans 8.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. For the manifested sons and daughters.
So what does that mean?
Does
that mean it's the end times?
No, it does not.
Okay.
It's the end of the way we've been living. And also that includes the weather warriors. It's going to be the end of the way they're living and the end of the way the enemy, Satan, has been ruling in the weather all around this world. It's changing right now. And so the weather warriors is something that God came up with himself. And he has appointed this time to wake them up. Let them understand about their authority and dominion that Christ himself had when he stopped the storm. And you all know, he said that what I've done you can do and even greater works. And so God really desires to have weather warriors who choose that to take all authority and dominion over the weather, no matter what type of weather it is. I know we're going to talk about a few of those things in a few minutes. But we really can affect the weather in this earth, especially destructive weather.
Yeah.
You know, we shouldn't tolerate it.
Nope.
And so people who stand up and start declaring against it and taking authority over it, God calls them weather warriors.
Awesome. I wanted to say that is like that's a form of ruling.
It is.
Yes.
Because anything where you take authority and dominion over something, that's authority. That's you ruling with Christ. It's like what he did. He took authority over the demonic, over the weather. Even time, even space, accelerating to the spirit realm. He created food and multiplied food with his words. And he did all kinds of things that had never been seen on the earth before. And we are definitely doing those things in this day. And weather warriors is one of the ways God's going to do it.
What is an example of the weather warrior?
A very current example.
Very current example.
Right now, everybody's had their eyes on that storm at Hawaii, around Hawaii. And the minute it came up over there, you know, I was busy, so I was unaware.
Yeah.
I tell people I don't watch TV 24 hours a day. No, God forbid, I don't do that. I have too many important things. So people usually let me know if there's a storm or even with the fires. We'll touch about the fires in a minute. But when I realized and was told about that storm in Hawaii, I went, I'm not tolerating it. Now, I don't live in Hawaii, but I'm over the weather no matter where it happens. And if the enemy gets in it and decides to use it against us, we know there's certain seasons where the rain comes, the snow comes, and when it's warm. You know, we're not going to change the seasons that are on the earth. But we are totally going to start stopping earthquakes and hurricanes, tsunamis, affecting the fire. And these are what God is designing and releasing the weather warriors to deal with. And so in Hawaii, as soon as we found out about that, I did a post because we started talking about weather warriors probably last year or maybe even the year before, I think. And we started attacking the storms. And what we were doing was we were diminishing them, downgrading them. You call in a high pressure system to sit on that storm. The hurricanes, they feed from low pressure. So high pressure, it disables them. And we are also commanding the rains to cease. We're even telling them the directions they had to go in and the directions they wouldn't go in. And I know some people may be hearing this for the first time. Well, that's wild. No, it's not. It's expected.
It is.
By God for us to do this. And Christ, one of the reasons why he even came was to get our authority back. You know, yeah. That the enemy's been just taken and using any way he wanted to. And it changed the course of hurricanes. Even the one that was coming here to our own state was diminished and downgraded. And the next one that came along, everybody was taught how to hit it. You hit that hurricane, you tell them what direction it's going in. And the weathermen were going wild because that second storm that was here before kept looping. It was
it could only go in a loop. It just kept going around and around.
And every time
was that Jose, I think?
Yeah, I think so.
Or something
and,
like
and
that.
And so people around the world were saying, I hit that storm and say the name of the storm. I hit it, you know, to go west or to go east or to go back out to sea is what we usually say as it gets downgraded along the way. And that storm really became nothing. It became nothing. So we started attacking that storm in Hawaii. And I did a post alerting all the weather warriors who've already been doing this for several years to start speaking to the high pressure system and calling the millibars to rise in the storm and commanding the bands to be separated around the storm and to call in the high and you calling that storm to cease and desist, that you would not go hit the land, you would not bring great destruction. So we were saying what would not happen, and then we were saying and commanding what would happen.
Yep.
And it delights Christ when we do that in the earth. And so that storm has already been downgraded several times.
Yeah, I think it's...
It never went ashore. It never made a direct hit on land. And last night, it actually said that it was going more west and northwest, and it was well below the Hawaiian Islands. And they were saying it was going to have a direct hit right there main island.
The eye never made it.
And then the eye never made it ashore. Only some of the outer bands did. And so people are celebrating in Hawaii. I'm not saying there wasn't rain and stuff, but not what they were forecasting.
Yeah, there were some areas that had some flooding, which we're going to start speaking to the ground to open up and dry up.
That's right.
But as far as I know,
there was no mass destruction.
Yeah, no mass destruction, and I don't even think they lost electricity.
I don't think that they did. So, if it did, yeah, it was very minimal. But that is not what they were forecasting.
Oh, I know.
They were kept saying it was going to go to a 4, a 5, you know, a 6, and then it was going to hit the mainland, and it would do such great destruction. And people already in the body of Christ that know we have a right to do this, they began speaking against it even before I made that post to all the, and I always alert the weather warriors to be aware of what's going on and to start speaking against it.
So can you touch a little base on who has the authority to be a weather warrior? What do you have to, like, can a nominal Christian try to do something like that? Or, you know, I mean, you have to know who you are in order to have that authority.
You really do. Most Christians don't realize who they are, actually, and what that means for them and their authority. But Jesus said, until he comes again, to occupy. Mm-hmm. And I can tell you that word occupy doesn't mean occupy the sofa and get the channel selector out to watch TV all day. That's not what he meant by occupy. And don't sit on your rapture rug waiting to be rescued, because we are rescuers ourselves. Okay, we stand in the gap. We take authority and dominion. And when he said occupy, he meant like take territory, take spiritual territory, but also the natural territory. And in the word it says, God said, let us make man in our image. And then he began to list the things we had dominion and authority over. And one is the air, the land, the air, the creatures on the earth. And it was our right. So number one, you need to be a believer. You have to be a believer in Jesus Christ to even think that you can take authority over the weather. Because Christ is the one who said, I give you power over all the power of the enemy. He also said that even the things I do, you will do, and greater will you do. And even in the Romans 8, where it talked about the manifested sons and daughters, those are sons and daughters of God who recognize who he is, who demonstrate and manifest the way they live their life and the choices they make according to what God wants. And so, yes, you have to be a believer. And it's like anything else. You grow in it.
Yeah.
Like your faith grows. Your authority levels grow. As I've shown people before, the revelation on the priests, the lords, and the kings, those are eternal levels of authority to operate in. And any believer can pursue those. It might mean you need to make some changes in your life.
Yeah.
But if you never step out, if you never start taking authority, and it might not work the first time you take authority over a storm or a flood or even the fires, which we recently also dealt with in California, you have to start somewhere. And then you begin to make a difference. And especially as we come into agreement as the body of Christ and do it, it is going to be extremely destructive to the plans of the enemy trying to use the weather.
Now, what if you are someone who isn't really confident in knowing that you're a manifested child of God, and you know but you step out, you try to do this, but you still have some issues and some things that you need to loose from your soul, and some, I guess you could call, gray areas or whatever. And I know a lot of people get backlash from the enemy when mm-hmm. that happens, because mm-hmm. he can see what's in your soul.
Oh, well, he actually knows what you're doing because of your actions. They are watching our lives.
Yeah.
You know, they're watching our lives. They can't actually, the demons cannot read our thoughts, but they know what we're thinking by the way we're living our life. And it's like anything else. When you start to pursue God himself, to have an intimate relationship with him, the closer you get to him, things will naturally fall off of you. Like maybe you swear a lot, or maybe you fight a lot with people. You get angry, you get offended. You react in the flesh. Yeah. Oh my goodness, let that flesh die. And react in the spirit, because it says to be spiritually minded. This is another whole podcast we're going to talk about. But honestly, you need to lay down your flesh, which is your opinions, your rights, your ability to trash people and crush people with your words. You need to stop that and consider what you're doing and how you're acting. Because to manifest for God, and that's by doing supernatural signs and wonders, the miraculous, things that will stun and shock this world with what God's going to do with those who believe that he is, and then they follow after him. Number one, you have to know that you belong to him, that you came from him, and he has a purpose for your life. And so many people don't have any boundaries on themselves. They don't have any accountability with anyone. And I think that's going to help start people on the road to doing that. And I know there are people stepping up, taking authority over the weather. And as they do it and see things change, they get excited because God is showing them this really is possible.
Mm-hmm.
Then it makes them want to run more to God, to be more like him, which we all should be. If we're made in their image and operate like they do, we should want to be like him. And so I think it helps them, and it even encourages them if they're not perfect yet, but they've mm-hmm. accepted Christ. Definitely, God wants them to know you can have authority, you can have a dominion. Don't play in the enemy's camp half the time, and then in the camp of God. You know, get on that path and run your race in his direction with him.
Yeah.
And I will tell you what, you will be dangerous against the enemy.
Yeah, you'll live on earth as it is in heaven.
Yes, that's our whole point, you know, is to live on earth.
They don't have backlash in heaven.
They don't have any backlash from the enemy. Give backlash,
that's
okay?
That's right.
In this day and hour, we're supposed to give backlash to the enemy.
That's
right. And it says, people go, that's not possible. Then why does it say this in the Word? If you submit yourself under the hand of God, that means you're surrendering things in your life and get closer to him and act more like him. When you submit yourself under the hand of God and you resist the enemy, by the way, that's a forward motion.
Yep.
You're going forward in the things of God. You're running after what the Spirit of God is saying. And what happens when you do that, the Bible says that Satan will flee from you. Well, he's not going to be backlashing you if he's running from you.
That's right.
So get a clue. These are available to all believers. These things about ruling and reigning, to be a priest, a lord, or a king, those levels of authority, and shock and stun this world, and even the earth itself will be healed, it says, when these manifested sons and daughters begin to stand up and manifest for God.
Yeah, because it's all these things are happening because it's the earth crying out.
It is the earth crying out.
For us to take our authority. Yes.
It even says the earth cries out. Mm-hmm. It doesn't say because the tribulation is here or the perilous times are here. It says the earth cries out for the manifested sons and daughters to stand up and begin to act like God always intended us to, because that's when things will really start to change. And we're living in those days.
Yep, that's right. And another thing, too, is can you use the host to assist in being when you do your weather warrior? I mean, I know we take authority over the weather, but can we send the host to...
What do they do?
Yeah, what do they do?
Well, the Army of Heaven is certainly waiting to assist us and help us in all of our ways, keep us in all of our ways. The Word also talks about that. But many people don't realize that we actually can not just ask for help from the Heaven's Army, but we're actually supposed to command them. Jesus commanded the host of heaven, and we're joint heirs with him. There's so many scriptures applied to this. We actually do have some products out there. It's called Invite Heaven's Army, and how God himself trained me to do that. And let me tell you, our lives have been changed ever since. We never get backlash from the enemy, but he runs from us everywhere we go. And yes, you can, because once you've taken authority over the power of the enemy trying to control whatever weather system it is and wherever it is, if you take power over all the power of the enemy trying to control that, like we know it rains, you know it storms sometimes, that's normal, but when these horrific tornadoes come or this terrible flooding or tsunamis, that's the enemy getting involved with controlling that weather. That's, okay, that's got to be stopped. And heaven is here to help us do that. So when you take power and authority over the enemy doing it, then you command the host of heaven, let's just use a hurricane, you would command the host of heaven to go and shred the bands of the hurricane. You know what that does? The hurricane will start to fall apart. Yep. And we actually did that. It wasn't a hurricane. It was a really severe thunder and lightning. There was horrible flooding. We were in Missouri. And I was speaking. I was staying in someone's house that started to flood. These rains were really bad. The lightning was everywhere. And I wasn't going to tolerate it anymore. And I didn't even live there. But I said, I'm not tolerating this stuff. And your basement is not going to flood anymore. And that was the very first time the Holy Spirit said, send the host to shred the system. And I did it. I said, I take power over all the power of the enemy involved in this whole storm system here in Missouri. And I command the host of heaven to go right now into that, begin to shred the system and just shred it apart. Because when you shred it apart, it can't grow. It has to come together and have this, it has a focused force and power that happens that makes the storm and the whole system bigger and go further and do more destruction. And I am not kidding. In 3 minutes, 3 minutes, the rains began to stop over her house in the city. And they actually showed on the weather system the storm was beginning to fall apart, and they didn't know what was doing it. They did not know what was happening. It was us taking authority. Mm-hmm. And by the next day, the floodwaters had started to recede because the airports weren't operating because of the storm.
And you were supposed to leave the next day.
I was supposed to leave the next day, and the water was over the roads.
Yeah.
And you couldn't cross the bridge to get to the airport. We started commanding the water to dry up and recede. It was off the road by the next day. People were coming, going. They were all shocked. Okay, it was Jen and I. We were taking authority, okay? Two believers. Knowing our authority and taking it, it changed that whole weekend for people. And I'm not ever going to tolerate it again.
Yeah, and our friend still does it.
And our friend whose house we stayed in has never flooded since.
Yep, she still does it.
Because she told me when we came back another time after that, and she said, guess what, I've been doing it ever since. The rain started, the water started coming, and I went out there on my back porch and said, I'm not tolerating you doing this. I command the host of heaven to go and shred that system, and I will not have any floodwaters. And her basement never flooded.
That's right.
So there's a testimony.
Awesome.
Amen.
Awesome. Now, you mentioned earlier about hitting the storm with a staff.
Yes.
Do you have to use a staff, or is there another way that you could, because not everybody has a staff, but you know.
Yeah. Yeah. And if there's any way, you know what, it's just a simple walking stick. You can buy them in a lot of places. They sell them. You know, I think.
And it's a symbolic hitting.
It is a symbolic hitting. In the spirit realm. Yeah, you're not going to go to where the storm is.
Don't beat your TV.
Yeah, don't beat your TV, okay? Because I used to hit the hurricane in the eye. And my husband's still trying to figure out, why is there this big black shadow mark in the middle of our TV? And it's because when we had that hurricane come here, I mean, I got up the TV and I hit it with my full fist. I hit it in the eye and commanded it to be diminished and commanded the. I'm telling you, that thing was gone in no time. But ever since then, our TV's now got this. I'm not telling him, okay? Don't tell him.
The black spot has grown.
It's grown. It looks like, I don't know.
It looks like a dinosaur to me.
It looks like a dinosaur right now. So, you know, hey, we got a little bit of interest on our TV programs. Not that TV is that important to me anyway. But you're right. I did. I actually admit it, okay, to everybody, but not my husband. It doesn't matter. He doesn't really care, okay? He watches it anyway with a nice dark shadow in the middle. But I actually hit it in the eye. And I remember when I was watching these storms some time ago, the Holy Spirit said, hit it in the eye.
Yeah.
What would happen if you hit someone else in the eye? I went, well, they wouldn't feel very good and they probably wouldn't see very well. And he goes, that's right. It won't be able to see very well, and it will be it'll begin to crush the storm, because what happens is it begins to separate when you hit the hurricane in the eye. The eye begins to separate from the rest of the storm.
Yeah,
and then it can't have the strength, because that eye is what causes that that low pressure system to gather and increase around the eye. And the winds get really high that are circulating around that eye, and the bands get longer and stronger. And that's what makes it get upgraded. So I was downgrading it in an express way. So, but yes, the staff is really important. You can use a staff when you pray. You make a declaration and you hit the ground with that staff. You may not know this, but there's like a cosmic spiritual shockwave that will come from the bottom of that staff.
It's a ripple effect.
It's a ripple effect. And let me tell you, every demon and every angel knows that a believer has declared something in authority. And I did have everybody, I told them, I said, if you don't have a staff, get a broom handle, get a mop handle, get some kind of a stick.
A walking stick. Yeah.
Or any kind of a stick. Just get one right now. And we actually did, symbolically, probably thousands of believers at one time, hit that hurricane and told it, you have to go to the west. And I remember when he did that, we did that in Florida, and we kept hitting it, and it was like a zigzag on the weather screen. Let me tell you, they don't even know what to do with us. It was, the last year was just wild. But you can see, every time we hit it, it would like zigzag, the whole storm would. Mm-hmm. And so I have absolute faith in the promises of God and the authority that Christ gave us. And I'm telling you, that storm has already been downgraded, and it will be downgraded as it goes out to sea, away from land. And I told everybody, keep hitting it, keep calling the pressure to rise in it. And people are celebrating. And let me tell you, people who don't know and don't have a clue will bash people taking authority.
Yeah.
Don't let it stop
you. Don't listen to them.
It's your right as a believer.
Yeah.
We're making a difference.
So is there anything else you want to share about being a weather warrior?
Oh, yeah, a weather warrior. And actually, we're going to design a logo. And the Father said it will become a move of God in the earth. He wants this to spread around this world and have the believers start taking authority. And we've also spoke to the fires that were in California. They were so severe at one point. They were jumping 100 feet. The flames were in the air and crossing the roads. And we found out about that, and we actually did a Facebook Live. It's on there somewhere. And people were laughing at us, taking authority over the fires. You can't do anything. Well, and when there's a fire involved, the thing you start doing immediately is you, as a believer who have authority over all the earth, you begin to cause and call forth a low pressure system to come and begin to rain on the fire. And right after we did that, that actually happened. Yeah. I'm not saying it put out right away, but people were freaking out because they heard us say it, and then it actually said on the news, rains have started to come, and people couldn't believe it. Once, this is what happens when you just start stepping out,
mm-hmm.
okay? And so we really bombarded those fires, and actually they stopped. They never came totally into parts of Reading and in some of the surrounding area. And I know it did thousands and thousands of acres of destruction. But the minute something starts is when you take your authority, not when it's been going for days and days. It's just a little bit harder. And I know one day it won't be. Your faith will be great and you'll speak and it will stop immediately like Christ did the storm. And I promise you, as Christ was growing up, even as a boy, he took authority over the weather. He knew what would happen when he spoke to that storm, but he had actually taught the disciples how to do the same thing. And sometimes they listened and sometimes they didn't listen. And so he had fallen asleep on the boat. That's how unconcerned he was. He knew even the disciples had the authority as righteous men on the earth to speak to that storm. And so they finally woke him up and he just spoke and it stopped. And that's what's going to happen in your lives if you will step out and not stop going forward to become a weather warrior.
Now,
and so,
what does someone do if they live somewhere where they need rain? Because you told them how to stop the rain.
Yeah.
You know, command the millibars to rise.
The same way. You command a low pressure system
yeah.
to come.
Okay.
Okay. And let me tell you, the high pressure means there'll be no rain and it's dry. The low pressure means you're going to see the clouds, they're going to get darker, they're going to get heavy, it's going to rain. That is a low pressure system. And so if that's what you need, if you need rain, we know in the Bible, it even talks about the prophet that called forth the rain and it was just the size of a man's hand, that cloud, remember in the Bible?
Yeah.
It was very small. And yet it grew and grew, and then it rained and rained and rained. So you need to learn to call forth a low pressure system and call forth the rain to come, not destructive rain, but helpful rain and refreshing rain to come. And so those are just a couple things that you can start doing in your life. And I remember when my dad would pray in Florida way back in the day, when we didn't have washers and dryers. I know it's not the dinosaur days, but I know for some of you that may be unbelievable. We had 8 clotheslines because, hello, remember there was 15 of us. And we'd clean all the clothes up. In Florida, it rains like every afternoon. That's okay. It drops the temperature from 100 to 80, and we're all okay with that. But when it rained, you had to take all the clothes down, wash them again, hang them up. So I really got tired of it, and I got an agreement with my dad. We commanded the rain to stop over our yard, and in seconds it was not raining on our entire side of the street. There was no rain across the street. There was rain.
I know I love this story.
Once the clothes dried on the clothesline, then the rain moved on our side of the street.
Yeah.
And rain. So see, I grew up understanding these things. No one can tell me that's not possible. So you need to let your faith grow. You step out on who God called you to be. And you become a weather warrior to make a difference in this earth. And wherever you see horrific weather taking place, even if you don't live there, you can make some kind of a difference by speaking against it and declaring on behalf of the people who live there. And God wants justice for us all in this time. And part of the justice comes by operating in our authority and in our dominion in this earth.
Okay. Anything else? I wanted to go to questions.
Oh, go ahead. Let's do some questions.
They don't really pertain to what we were talking about, but...
Okay, so remember, all you weather warriors, let's applaud them.
Yay!
Woo! Yay! For stepping out in faith and taking authority. And so you pursue that. If that's something that's in your heart, you wait and see what's going to happen in this world by us taking authority. So now, let's move to the Q&A.
Okay, this is from Lacey. This is a podcast question from Lacey. She says, I am a 19-year-old artist. I've always wanted to know if it is possible to create your own characters and stories in heaven and to have them come alive. Perhaps have their own thoughts to create in the Father's likeness. I have always wanted to know if what we create here on earth, like animated movies and characters, come to life there, and how far can they actually go?
Oh, in the creativity, you mean?
Yes.
Of things that come alive?
Yes.
Well, I know everybody hears me say that everything in heaven is alive, and that's really true. the buildings, the trees, the land, all the little pebbles have faces and worship God. Even the water will come up like into a water spout and worship God. So even the supernatural elements, because I can't say natural, supernatural elements that exist in heaven are all alive. And so much of whatever you make things out of, when you make something in heaven or create something in heaven, more than likely it's going to come alive. Now, I want to always, I want to interject this. Nothing evil is ever made in heaven. Nothing of the darkness that looks like darkness, that would act like darkness. Nobody even has those thoughts in heaven. No one living in heaven thinks about the darkness or evil. They don't create things that represent that. So I know here on the earth, those things do happen. People make evil movies and video games and books. And let's just not go down the whole list. Images of darkness are everywhere. But in heaven, that is not true. It's always about the light and life, the glory, the wonder. And guess what? This is where the wonder comes in. The wonder that operates in heaven, in our imagination and in our creativity, many of those things do come to life. I do happen to know that there's a place in heaven called Video Land, and you will design these video games. And these video games are not little small things you hold in your hand. They're very big. And you yourself, when you create characters in the video games, you yourself become a character in the game. And you step in the game and you're actually a video character, but it's you. And you think like you, and you have these amazing encounters and situations in these games. Your friends who live in heaven can also be in these games. It's not like the virtual Warcraft, which I would have nothing to do with if I were you, because it represents witchcraft. But these games are intense, exciting, filled with wonder. And so there's a place you can go in heaven and experience this. It's like something fun to do. And then when the game is over, you step out of the game. It's a spiritual thing. So you just step out of the game in your spiritual body. And whatever character likeness you took on when you're in the game, you are now look just like you normally do. So it's something fun to do in heaven. There's also Cartoon Village. And even young children can create cartoons, like a cartoon movie, a cartoon video. And they themselves also become a cartoon character and step into those games or into those movies in heaven. And then they get to play and act these cartoon characters. And then when they're done, they step out and they're themselves again. So another thing about creating and things coming alive. I do know in Christmastown, this always raises up controversy. So here we go. There's a place in heaven called Christmastown. It's where Jesus Christ celebrates his birth all the time. It's also where Nick or Nicholas lives, and he gives gifts to children when they visit there. There's snow, there's supernatural snow, looks like snow, feels like snow. No one's gonna get frozen, no one's gonna get hurt, but the snow, whatever you make out of it, snowballs, snowmen, whatever you make, those things literally come to life because there's life in the snow. And they have a character, and they sing, they laugh, they play with you. And I know people get undone, and yet sometimes it makes people feel like a child. You know, Jesus said you must be like a little child to enter into the kingdom of heaven. So when you're in heaven, you don't sit there and go, that's not possible. You know, I don't see how that can happen. No, I think you're making that up. People don't reason everything in heaven. They receive it like a little child. When you give them a gift, they're not going to sit there and go, I don't want that gift. You know, who cares about that? If you give a child a gift on this earth, they're going to start playing with it. They're going to run to their friends about it. And they're going to want to do things together with it. But even adults, when they go to heaven, they feel like little children because of the creativity, the joy, and the excitement of being there. So don't just shut your head or your brain out and try to reason away all these things, because there's things there the Bible said you never thought of, you never saw, you never knew existed, because it God who made this place for us. So the trees are alive, and there's still things to build and work with, though. It's not necessarily like if you want to build something, like something made out of wood, there's wood in heaven, it's supernatural wood. And so you wouldn't be cutting down a tree that has, you know, their characters or creatures in heaven. there's actually wood reserved for you to actually take and build and make things out of, because people go home as carpenters to heaven. They still make things out of wood. Actually, Christ does that. He was a carpenter when he was on the earth. Mm-hmm. He had a gift. When he goes home to heaven, he makes things out of wood and puts them in your own mansion. So there is creativity and excitement in heaven and many ways to create and invent that they don't have on this earth. So I hope that helped you understand.
That's awesome. All right. One more question, and then I think we're going to end our podcast.
Oh, I know. It just went by too fast.
It did. Podcast number 20. So, yeah, periodically we're going to make sure we check the questions section on the podcast. So please continue to leave questions.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, we do love them. And also leave your testimonies, because we love to read those too. You know, how the revelation's blessing your life.
You know, we need to actually have a time we share testimonies.
Yeah, I was thinking of doing that too.
We haven't even done that.
Reading some of the people's testimonies, which I think is
really
awesome. We're
going to do that too.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, so last question is, if I'm understanding them correctly, they want to know what is the purpose of the stones. I'm guessing the stones that you get when you come home to heaven.
The stones that have your name written on them?
Yeah, yeah. They want to know what is the purpose. They don't know how to explain why we get the stones, what the purpose is. And they said they just tell people, their response is, has been that just because God can. So they just...
Oh. If you were... No, there's two different types of stones. There are stones of revelation. There are gemstones all over heaven.
Yeah.
You get some in your mansion.
You get some
embedded
on your road.
In your walkway. Oh, the stones. Yeah. And the stones of fire that it mentions in Ezekiel 28, the stones of fire actually come from God himself. They flow out of him in the river of life. And they're taken from the river of life. And every time a believer does something on the earth to bless people or love people, your robe of righteousness is being designed in heaven while you're still living on the earth. When you do a kind act, it could be as something as simple as telling someone that God cares, or just buying them some simple little gift, or just saying, hey, I hope you have a good day, you know, and encouraging and uplifting people. God takes a gemstone, a gem from himself, and he puts it on your robe of righteousness. And let me tell you, I've seen some people's robes, and they look like they belonged in an art gallery. Some of them have beautiful designs on them. So there's those kind of stones. And then, of course, there are the stones, the white stone. Everybody talks about this. When you go home to heaven, Father gives you a white stone, and he has a nickname for you on that stone that only you and he will know. It's a nickname. It's not some new name that's going to be like, you know, five or six names shoved together like Zippa-Purpalopolis, you know. It's not, it may be Zippy. No, more than likely it'd be Zippy, or, you know, all kinds of cute names, because you go home as his son or daughter, and so he gives you this nickname that represents you to him. And but by the way, that's not a white river rock. That white stone is a white diamond.
Yeah.
And it's not a little one like you would put in your ring. It's something that will fit in the palm of your hand. So anybody wants to know about the white stones that are given out to everybody who comes home to heaven, they get one. And that name is something that's between you and the Father. And he writes it on there himself.
That's so cool.
Because he loves us so much. And he wants to bless you and let you know how much... how excited he is that you've come home to heaven. But you know what? He's also excited that you're here on the earth right now and can make a difference with your life. So bless him. Bless your own guardian angels. Start doing random acts of kindness or even planned acts of kindness to people, because heaven will recognize it.
Yep.
And you will be blessed for every one of those things you do for him.
Yep, that's right. All right, that's it.
Wow, that was too fast. And but so remind us now, you know, to remember to give give testimony. Yeah. So short testimony, maybe a couple lines long, because we can't read a whole page to everybody. Yeah. So keep it really short and send it. And
make sure you put your first name and...
Yeah, where you're from.
Your age, if you're brave.
If you're brave, and where you're from.
And where you're the state or country where you're from. So
yeah, that would be really cool. Because we love to know that. And then you may hear it read online. Yeah,
all right, well... Yeah,
so we bless you. May the host go with you.
Yep.
And roll up your rapture rug.
And roll and reign.
For later on, much further down the road, and get your crown on.
That's right.
Amen.
Woohoo!
And woohoo, all you weather warriors. Keep going.
Bye.
Bye.